come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heisig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Welcome. It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Teo.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. And, of course, Pastor Nate Heitzig joining us.
We are going to jam.
Yeah, we are. I'm excited, dude.
About what?
Just life.
Just life?
Just life,
That's a good
dude.
Thing to be excited about.
You know? Can't complain.
Mm. I'm excited about...
Yeah?
Stuff.
Good. You should be. Welcome to the show there, Pastor Nate.
Thanks, man.
Glad to have you in studio.
Dude, I just realized, like, all the pastors are slowly wanting to be a part of the radio on things that they're passionate about. So it's like, I'm passionate about being a jerk, and so I'm part of Shock Therapy Live. Brian Nixon's passionate about being smart, so he's part of Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
Jason Mills is passionate about fictional people, so he's part of Comics Corner.
You're so right. I didn't even think about this. Teo, they've infiltrated us, and we didn't even know.
Nah, it's okay.
It's like you're just going to have pastors who like Shay's going to come in. Hey, do you guys want to start a fantasy football show?
It's
going to happen.
I still need to sign up for his league.
So all the pastors are realizing, hey, I can just go and pitch what I like to talk about and make it a radio show.
This is totally acceptable.
Nelson Walker's going to come in and he's going to like want to have a show about tasers.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Him and Eric Lamb it can do like
you know,
a
Eric Lamb will do a kung
thing.
Fu. You guys will talk about Chuck Norris for an hour.
Yeah.
Which will be a great show.
It'll be fantastic.
That'll be awesome.
Let's be honest.
Terry
so
Rose
good.
Will talk about like, I don't know.
Just being sensitive and one of the smartest guys in the world and hugging people.
It's going to be
just
good.
Like, every time I see him, I just want to hug him. He's like the nicest dude on the planet.
I'm excited for the future of Star 88.
Yeah?
Yeah, because of all these great shows.
Though? Hey, because the future's a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present.
Boom.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to throw the City Harmonic CD at your eye.
Yeah, you brought in some City Harmonic CDs. That's
fantastic.
I did. Fantastic.
Yeah, they sent me these. The CD doesn't release until September.
That's cool.
But they said, hey, if you guys... I actually only brought you guys half of them, but
that's
I'm going to
okay.
keep half.
Yeah. You wanted to keep all of the other ones.
All the other ones.
Got it.
I'm going to listen to them differently at different times.
That makes sense.
The record is called We Are Selfish. And,
we are selfish.
Dude, we're excited. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700.
What show will Neil do?
I always think
about
baseball.
Tom Cruise. And it'll be a show about Tom Cruise.
See, I thought of the Yankees.
Just talking about what's going on in Tom Cruise's life. Like, hey, today in Cruise the Internet, we're going to talk about
Neil
the different internet stories
show.
About Tom Cruise.
It's on our sister station. It airs at 5 a.m. every weekday morning.
What is it called?
As we gather near
oh,
the
gosh.
Mountain.
No.
It's As
That's
We Gather
Will Forte.
By Bill... What is
it's
Bill Stonebreaker.
Stonebreaker.
What's his name?
He sounds like Will Forte.
I totally...
It's Bill Stonebreaker. Bill Stonebreaker.
You guys talk amongst yourselves.
I'm just trying to think of the other pastors and what shows they could do. What other great shows we could have on Star 88 that could be a part of this new expedition?
Pastor Chip Lusko could do a show called Margaritaville.
Nope.
And it's
his
the
show,
greatest hits of Jimmy Buffett.
His show would be called Eating Right, A Guide to Your Diet with Chip Lusko.
Yes.
Going Cosmic.
Or just
with
be
Chip.
Called the Ooh. Be called the Vegan Lifestyle.
If Robo Steve was still here, he could do a singles only class on the radio, like a broadcast podcast. I feel like that.
It's brought to you
Chip's,
by Christian Mingle.
Chip's show could be called Plant Strong, taking diet lessons from Swamp Thing.
Oh, man. I love Swamp Thing. He's one of my favorites. Hey, speaking of pastors, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking with your dad, actually.
Really?
He's going to Cuba.
Dude. Right?
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
We're
going to
be hanging out with him tomorrow for Third World Thursday, talking about what he's going to be doing down there. That's really exciting. So.
Isn't it weird to think that we can just go to Cuba now? Like that's allowed
that's a
now?
Thing. Yeah.
Like, I wonder when that's going to happen. Like, in 20 years, like, is Kim Jong-un going to be dead? And it's like, hey, let's just go to North Korea.
Why would anyone want to
I don't know.
There?
Why would anyone want to go to Cuba?
I don't know. That's why we're interviewing your dad. We're like, wait, somebody wants to go there?
But my dad goes to a lot of places people don't want to go. Like, hey, let's go to Iraq. Let's go to Cuba.
Very true.
Like, well, yeah. I don't know. He's going to go to like the most inhospitable places in the world.
Hey, dude, that's where he's called.
Antarctica. Let's go preach the gospel to penguins.
Albuquerque.
That's a good point. The desert.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
Which, you know, by the way, right now, you always have all these huge natural disasters that happen. You have, you know, fire. Well, guess what? Fire doesn't jump dirt, so we don't have to worry about forest fires. We don't have to worry about, like, Oregon. You've got, you know, typhoons and monsoons and hurricanes. No water in Albuquerque. You don't have to worry about that. You've got tornadoes. Again, don't got to worry about that in Albuquerque. Albuquerque is inhospitable towards natural disasters.
That's good. I like that. I like
natural disasters are like, I don't want to go
not
there.
Not so much. I think that's why my wife loves it here, because she hates
Florida.
Tornadoes.
What about quicksand?
Quicksand? No,
is there quicksand here?
No, because we have dirt, not sand.
Yeah.
Quick dirt. If there's quick dirt.
I could have swore that dirt was sand. Maybe not.
Maybe white sands, I guess.
Oh, man. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. We're excited. They're actually working again.
I wonder if white sands ever get sued for being, you know, racially intolerant.
No, man. Please call in, because if not, we're just going this direction.
Please.
Pastor Nick,
we've actually got some emails we can get to.
Yeah. He's got them all in there.
Always bringing up the serious
I got this,
stuff.
Man.
I know. Studio at star88.fm. That's studio at star88.fm. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm.
Hey, we got a phone call.
Yeah, take that phone call.
All right. Taking the phone call. Hello, welcome to Star 88.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going
good.
Well. I don't know if this is like something deep and serious and I should say your name or not. So.
No, you can totally say my name.
Okay, it's Joelle the Nanny. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Say my name,
Okay, totally. totally
super
different.
Serious.
You said say my name.
Well, Shock Therapy Live and Pastor Nate is singing to Joelle the Nanny some Destiny's Child.
Is that Destiny's Child?
I thought so, isn't it?
I don't know.
So what's up, Joelle the Nanny?
Well, firstly, I just wanted to thank you guys for the fantastic advice you gave me before the summer started.
Yeah.
Because that helped me, like, so much.
It was, awesome. What was that? I don't remember.
Be cool.
What?
Stay in school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just needed advice as far as, like, just I was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. Just, like.
Awesome.
And then you guys just kind of reminded me that sanctification is a process. So,
oh, cool. Good.
Yeah. That actually came in handy a lot that summer. So.
Good.
You're like, I totally just blew it. That's a process.
Came in handy this day.
Came in handy every time I wanted to say that. I just pulled out that sanctification process card and was like, get out of jail free. Boom. I'm just kidding. So what's up?
No. Okay, well, I did have like a little question. So, like, over the summer, kind of met somebody.
Oh, man.
And, so I just wanted, like, what do you guys, like, what's good conversations to have, like, because we're still, like, just friends getting to know each other, but, like, it could progress, so it's just, like,
where do they live?
Want to start off right.
Do they live locally?
Where do they live?
No, he lives in Ruidoso.
Mm.
So he's, like, 3 hours away.
Okay, you ready for this? Mm. When I was in college, I worked at a camp in Mountaineer.
Mm-hmm.
Met a girl, she lived in Kentucky. It was about 3 or 4 hours away from where I lived. We thought it was all super serious. Broke up within 3 months. So the only conversation you need to be having is a breakup conversation.
Stop it right
now. Bring it on.
You are mean.
Should I just go cry in my pillow now?
No, don't cry. No. Break up with him and make him cry.
Okay.
Wow. Bad advice.
That was
hey, that really is a true story. That's not what I'm telling you today.
this is as far as conversations. I think that when you first start dating somebody, you're like, okay, you know, what should we talk about? Like, but I think that you just got to be yourself and just let conversation go where conversation goes. Because if you have this mentality of we've got to have a new, fresh, exciting conversation every time we talk, that's going to run out in about 6 months, and you're not going to have anything new to talk about. And so I think you've got to get comfortable, you know, just talking about life, what's going on. So what happened today? So what are you doing? So you know, and see where conversation goes, and as questions come up in your mind as you're learning to meet this person and get to know this person, don't be shy to ask those questions. You know, well, tell me about how you grew up, or tell me about your family, or, you know, I think just let conversation go where it goes, and don't try to have a pre-planned script of, okay, I'm going to call him today and we're going to talk about, you know, what happened in his childhood and what kind of baggage he has. And,
this is true.
You know, don't try to script it or plan it out.
But really, I agree wholeheartedly. I think you have to just be yourself, because I had a really good friend once who met this girl And the first time they hung out, it was like super normal. He was totally himself and, you know, wasn't trying to impress her. And then, unfortunately, there was this weird misunderstanding and he got arrested and taken away. And later he went back, but like instead of just going back as himself, he showed up like in grand form, like on an elephant. And he was singing and he was like this prince all of a sudden, but he wasn't really a prince.
I know that guy.
He was like going with this pretense, like she's a princess, yep. And so I've got it. Like I can't just be myself. I have to.
Yeah, especially because she had a freaking tiger.
Right, and so like you know this friend, Al.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So
or is it Laddie? Was it Al or maybe just Ben? Or was it Laddie? I feel like it was Laddie.
Hopefully
like
not.
Laddie.
Hopefully
like
not.
Boy.
Hopefully not Bin Laden. Hopefully it wasn't Bin Laden, because that'd be bad.
No, that was the updated version, man.
Man, you watching the wrong Disney.
He was not a prince.
If Disney movies don't teach you anything, it's come on. It's if they can teach you anything, it's that you just got to be yourself and stop it.
You did it.
I really did. I apologize. I couldn't help it. He said, be yourself, and I immediately thought of the genie.
I was going to watch Aladdin, so.
Go watch Aladdin, break up with the guy.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Boom! Solid advice from Shock Therapy Live.
And this is why people call Shock Therapy Live, or this is why people call Theology Thursday instead of Shock Therapy Live.
True.
Hey, I give out just as bad advice on Theology Thursday.
Preach it. Honestly, I agree with everything that has been said.
Shock Therapy Live is your cool friend that you talk to when you want to laugh and have fun.
Yeah.
Theology Thursday is your depressing friend that you call and talk to when life sucks.
In all honesty, have you guys had a conversation about you mentioned that it could progress. Like you know this person, like nothing romantic yet. Have you guys talked about the possibility of dating, what that would look like? Or
yeah, we actually like had that conversation about like a week ago.
Okay.
So just kind of like, so we're on the same page about everything, because we both have messed up and like started relationship off the wrong way. So we're making sure we kind of start this off.
Correct.
The right way.
Okay. Correctly. Yeah.
And so obviously a long distance relationship, but do you guys have a plan to, you know, see each other, you know, once a week or, you know, I mean, is there any like kind of plan for you guys in going forward in your relationship?
Yeah, we've planned like some times to hang out,
with multiple people around, not alone,
yes.
In dark places.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, in October, we're going to go see Owl City because he loves Owl City as much as I do.
You need to hang on to that one because he's the only dude.
Yeah.
Or you need to find out some things, and then the relationship will probably end anyways. It's a guy that likes Owl City.
Well, it's okay to like Owl City. It just depends what era of Owl City you like.
Yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
By eras, do you mean the one song?
No, I mean, we have, like, he has a friend going, and my brother's coming, so.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I would say that very thing, but, just be careful, Joelle the Nanny. All right.
Okay.
Long distance
be yourself.
Just be yourself.
Don't put yourself in a situation where you got to pull out that sanctification card.
Yeah, for reals, bro. That's not a get out of jail free card. Okay. So learn from our mistakes. All right. Just grow.
Alrighty.
Learn
all right.
Steve-O's mistakes. I've never made any.
There you go. Thanks, Joelle. Phone lines are open 505-338-3700.
Hey, hardcore real advice though.
Yeah.
Joelle, I know you're probably still listening.
Yeah.
Don't take it way more seriously than you have to take it. Mm. That was my hang up, is you go, and I think it's probably a hang up of a lot of Christian kids in college. You know, they're looking for, like everybody, the joke in Mississippi was every girl goes to college to get their MRS degree.
I don't know what that means.
Misses. They want to get married. Yeah, you'll get it later. Anyway, I think you go into it and you want to find that lasting relationship, so you take things very seriously.
Right.
Sometimes to a detriment, to where you're not even enjoying the friendship that you have. It can't grow in a natural way because you're putting these huge spiritual weights on, like every single thing you do matters, you know, like to this nth degree for eternity in a romantic way.
Right.
And I would just say, like, at least just enjoy the friendship that you have and enjoy being around each other. And because sometimes tying down those weights can literally just weigh the relationship down into nothing.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I mean, if you think about it in regards to just even friendships, like, we always get, you know, Christians get weird with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you don't do that to your friends. It's not like, man, I really feel like this is meant to be. Like, this is, this is God put you in my life. Like, I don't talk to my buddies like that.
I don't.
So why would you talk to, like, a significant other? I mean, it's just strange.
Hey, Nate, God put you here right now for this purpose. I just feel like he put us together in this room, in this moment.
Girl,
yeah,
you're beautiful.
Thank you.
You're special.
Okay,
and I'm grateful for you,
Teo. You're my accountability man. He's like getting grabby. It's weird. Okay, you are my accountability here.
I have a
I
wall
need
separating.
Wingman.
There's
okay.
a great chasm between you
it
and I.
Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open 505-338-3700. Or of course, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we do have some emails to get to. studio@star88.fm. What do we got from the emails?
Okay, this says, hello. I have a dear friend who suffers from bipolar disorder. He has functioned very well over the last few years and is a high leadership ministry position. He loves the Lord dearly, strives to follow him. A little over a year ago, he stopped taking his bipolar medication for several reasons, but mainly felt like he didn't need it anymore and that he had figured a way out to handle his symptoms. Overall, I would say this has worked well, but the last several months, we've noticed significant swings in his behavior that have started to affect his ministry and his relationships. He does not feel like it's a problem and cannot see that it's likely a side effect of his bipolar disorder. He's swinging widely from ecstatic happiness to severe depression the next day. My husband and I really care about him, and my husband has talked with him about this several times in a very loving and caring way. We want to help him, but I don't know what else to do, and it's getting a little out of control, especially since he's a leader in ministry. I would like to remain anonymous if you discuss this on the radio, but would really appreciate your thoughts and wisdom.
Man,
well, you know, the thing that I would think of is if you've approached him in love, I would approach him one more time, still in love, but a little bit more severe and say, look, we really think this is an issue.
Yeah.
And we think it's such an issue, and we think it's not only an issue to you, but to those who you serve and to those who you serve under, that if you can't realize that and you can't take the steps necessary, we're going to have to go to your leadership and mm-hmm. contact your leadership. So unless he's the senior pastor, he's got leadership above him.
And if he's the senior pastor, he still has leadership above him, am I right? His name is Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I would go to his senior leadership. I would go to those who are over him, and I would simply let them know, hey, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or if you guys realize this. If you do realize that he has this disorder, bipolar disorder, we want to let you know that we've seen it begin to kick in overdrive in recent months. And I would explain it in the situation and let them know that they need to hold him accountable to make sure that he's taking his medication.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's very, very important to do.
We've talked about that multiple times on this show. If you have if you've been diagnosed by a medical physician with a disorder, with something, and then you're like, nah, bro, I got faith, so I'm just going to quit taking the meds that this doctor prescribed me, stop it. Don't do that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there are doctors and why there is that medication that they prescribe for you. And it sounds like one of those situations where it's like, oh, man, nah, I got a word from the Lord and I'm cured and I'm just gonna stop this medication. I'm not going to worry about the withdrawal symptoms or what it's going to do, how it's going to affect my body or my brain, and praise be. And then you have situations like this that arise. I wholeheartedly agree. You have to go to him one more time in love.
And I mean, it is hard because most people who struggle with those mental disorders are in denial that they do struggle with
right.
it. And they don't realize they struggle with it. And they, you know, they want to push it off. But again, that's why it's a disorder. It's a mental disorder,
yeah.
you know, that they feel that way. And so I've never met a person who has a mental disorder that doesn't think that you know, that at some point in their life they tell themselves, oh, I can go off my medication. I don't need my medication.
Right.
I think they all do that. And so I think you need to really be ready, like what you're doing now, and love to go to them. But again, if you know, going to them in love doesn't work, I think you got to bring in more people into the situation to make them aware, even if it's only for the sake of making them aware that, hey, in case something happens with him, you need to know this is what he struggles with so that you understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
dude, if you are someone who has prescribed a medication, you believe, man, no, I think I can go this road. Doctors can help wean you off of certain medications. There is a process involved. Please go see your physician. Go see your doctor.
Yeah.
Don't just make that step and say, oh, yeah, no, man, totally cool. This is what I'm choosing to do today. It's a very dangerous place to be when you start doing that. So phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Maybe the topics this morning have spawned something and you are reminded you of a situation that God has used you in the past. We'd love to hear your stories as well because, you know, we're not medical doctors. But maybe you are that person that God healed or that God did a work in, and you can speak to that. We'd love to hear those. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in through email, studio@star88.fm. What else we got?
See, we got an email. It says, hi, my question is this. I've struggled with a severe eating disorder for 7 years now, although married and have two kids. I am a true follower and disciple of Christ, but I cannot seem to shake this idol of anorexia. Recently got into yoga and have found that this is actually helping me recover. The only issue is I know that there are Eastern roots of Hinduism in this. Is this going against biblical authority? That's the question.
You know, I think it depends where you're going to yoga at.
Oh, it's the Buddhist temple up on the...
because, you know, I know there are varying forms of yoga. I know there are certain yoga places that you go to and they really practice the religious aspect and the, you know, the Eastern meditation aspect of yoga. And then there's other places you go to yoga. You know, you go to sports and wellness, go to yoga class. It's really just an exercise routine
right. That
is helpful for you. For me, it's very similar to karate and to different forms of martial arts. You know, there's a lot of religion rooted in certain versions of martial arts, but there's certain dojos you can go to practice martial arts that view it as a sport and view it as training and view it as something for health and for self-defense. And then there's other ones that you go to that really practice the religious aspect and the Eastern meditation aspect of that. So I think it really depends where you're going to yoga to determine whether or not it's something that you should be doing.
I think you got to only stick with the Western Christian form of training. We all know CrossFit. It's called that because of the cross.
Oh. Yeah, and, keep talking.
It was started 2,000 years ago.
I think you would be really good at CrossFit because you say things that no one else could ever pick up on all the time.
And I'm a big fan. I think the Christian exercise is the elliptical because you're constantly making the infinity symbol over and over again with your feet.
Gosh.
And so your feet are praising the Lord
the whole
time.
Because you're just constantly, you're constantly doing it, but you're not really going anywhere. Wait, what? No!
Oh, but, man. Are you saying the elliptical is the equivalent of being a backslidden Christian?
Apparently, because you're just not going anywhere, man.
Lukewarm.
No, honestly, we have friends who rock yoga, and a good friend who does yoga who takes part in one that I wouldn't say is like Eastern mysticism, but they talk about those times of meditation, and he always talks about the Christian discipline of meditation and meditating on the Word of God. And so if they're not like injecting you with like, okay, now we want you to ohm and think on these things, but you're free to quote-unquote meditate in a time of reflection, meditation on God's Word is a very important thing anyways, and I mean...
Yeah, I think meditating, but you know, when they're like, you know, now pause and breathe in the good energy and exhale the bad energy. That's just crap.
I eat good energy for breakfast.
You eat good energy for breakfast?
Where do you buy that at?
I can't say where you buy it.
I'm just about to crack a joke and I can't.
Leah just emailed in and says, at Sagebrush on Thursdays, they have worship music and learning how to focus on the Lord-geared yoga.
Nice. I like that. Okay.
And then I was going to say the gym I go to, Desert Forge, they have a yoga class. And as far as I know, there's no Eastern mysticism mixed in, but who knows? There are tons of, like, yoga really, like you guys were saying, yoga is a really, really good way to stretch.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing. It's great body conditioning, and it was so taboo in the church because it was this overarching, like, oh, yoga equals bad because it's all Buddhist or Hindu or something crazy, man. And it was started by Muhammad, and he was a prophet. And
if it had an English name, people wouldn't be so bothered by it.
Jazzercise.
Yeah.
Zumba.
Stick with Zumba. I do Tai Bo.
That's a weird name, too.
What, Zumba?
If they just called it stretchy class, people would be like, oh, yeah, I go to stretchy class. There's nothing wrong with stretchy class.
Stretchy class.
How come we don't have
a Are you going to hot stretchy class today? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be great.
Hot stretchy class. Yeah, dude. That's how I work it. That's how I rock it. But really, I think a lot of times there's these, we were talking about this off-air conversations about sometimes when you have a personal conviction and it becomes this overarching theme of Christianity where you place it upon everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot of times.
Like heroin.
No. Okay, well, that's not exactly the direction that's going in. That's actually bad for everyone.
Oh.
So, unless you're talking about a female hero and it's like the heroine, like in the story, she was
that's what I meant.
That's good. Yeah. So this is one of those situations, in my opinion, where yoga, all of a sudden, it was like blanket statement, like, no, you can't do that. They're infecting Western culture with Eastern mysticism. And you're like, okay, but can I still listen to you too? No, that's the devil's music. Mm, oh, okay.
Like
cool,
Hunger
man.
Games.
Yeah. So you just ask them where they stand with you two, and if they say that they're the devil's music, then you know they're crazy. So, all right. Hopefully that helps.
My favorite thing is to do yoga while I'm watching Harry Potter.
Okay.
Listening to death metal music.
You know, the funny thing is we just had a worship artist in here, Jonathan Tulane, who is doing a workshop here in Albuquerque. He's coming back in September with Sean McDonald, and he was talking sci-fi because he's a big sci-fi fan, and he said that was his favorite sci-fi. It's
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd consider that.
That's fantasy
to me.
That's
fantasy. It's not sci-fi.
No. So.
Sci-fi is science fiction, so it's got to have some form of science. Magic isn't science.
Well,
magic
and Thor, fantasy. Thor says that what we call magic, what we call science, they call magic.
Okay,
it's the same thing. Magic fiction. Same thing.
God bless you. That was incredible. It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505.
Sharknado. That's sci-fi.
That is true sci-fi.
You just quoted Thor.
I know. I'm trying to quote the truth to you guys.
Well, you did quote a god, so I mean, I guess it could be considered
small g.
Open.
Small g.
A god, not the god.
3700. That's 505-338-3700. Of course, you can send us an email, studio@star88.fm. We got more emails?
We got another email.
Okay.
Odin.
This is more of a. There's only one god, Nate, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
Captain America!
Thank you.
Okay.
This is more
that's
of a prayer
great.
Request.
That's a great quote.
That was a great quote.
Man.
Yeah. Captain, that's why he's the best.
Okay. I'm going through a really, really tough time right now. My dad passed in 2013, and he provided everything for me and my sisters. Now that he's gone, I miss him so badly. I don't know what to do. All the bills are on us, and I can't find a job. I know God is there, and I haven't stopped believing. I'll never stop. It's just really hard. I didn't expect it to be this way. I just really need prayer for financial help. For my family. And like I said, this is more of like a prayer request.
Mm-hmm.
I have all these dreams to go and do great things, move to LA, but it seems so bleak right now. I'm in the midst of a storm. God has shown me time and again that he will never leave me or forsake me, so I know that he'll pull us through. If you could, just please pray for us to get pulled out of this mess and put back on our feet. Thank you.
Hmm. How old is this she was?
It just says the dad passed in 2013, and now it's just this person and her sisters.
Man, that's so tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually had a friend at the gym tell me that he's in a really, really tough spot right now financially. And he's kind of the same thing. He knows God's not going to leave him or forsake him. But just in the thick of it, it's so hard to focus on. You know, he was like, I'm just looking forward to the time when I look back on this and go, thank you, God. Thank you for taking me through that. But in the moment, it's so difficult. For that, so do you guys have any advice for people that are in a situation kind of like this girl and like my friend,
man,
just stuck?
You know, I think the only thing I think of is, you know, in Psalm 23 when it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I think the reason that that he refers to it as a valley is because when you're in trial and hardship, it is a valley. You can't see out of it. All you can see is the walls. You're covered in shadow. You can't see the sun because you're in the valley. You know, you're at the bottom of the valley and all you see is the valley, and so it's very hard to see, you know, a way out of it because all you see is the walls of your problems.
Yeah.
And so I think it's in those times that even more than being firm of, oh, I'm going to get out of this valley or I'm going to get through this valley. There isn't ending to this valley. Or I can't see a way out of this valley. I think it's important to remember that Jesus is with you in the valley.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing to remember, is that God is our shepherd, is with us in the valley. And so even more than looking for the exit to the valley, we need to look to what God wants to do in us in the valley. And that's really hard to do, and it's hard to think about. But I think that that's incredibly important, because when you look back on that hardship, you don't just want to look back at, man, I'm glad I got out of that. But you want to look back at, man, I'm glad God taught me that through that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's huge, is when you begin to look for God's hand in those things, it becomes not easy to deal with, but it becomes easier to understand, or easier to get through it, because you can start to view a purpose of it, or what God wants to do because of it.
Man, we just went through an incredible series at Calvary called Jesus Loves People, and it was a theme that we talked about for weeks. The idea of everybody having that story. I was immediately reminded of, on the flip side, for those of us that, you know, maybe God placed you in someone's life who is going through something like that. We talked about earlier Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. He sent a memo out to all of his partners, the 190,000 employees at Starbucks, reminding them that in this great economic crisis that has hit, you know, the stock market crashes, everything's going on. That volatility combined with the political aspect going on right now in our world, and everything, you know, the news around us, everything seems so bleak. He asked his employees to recognize that, and that their success wasn't a means of entitlement, but something that they had to earn every day by caring for and loving the people that came into Starbucks. And it was like, dude, what a solid reminder for us as Christians, mm-hmm. because we don't know what's going on in someone else's life around us. So to be that person who is loving, who is compassionate, who is actually caring for someone else, maybe God has placed you in a situation where you're not going through a financial hardship right now, but you know someone who is. And maybe that's why you're in that situation, is to be that friend, to be that that comfort, to be there for them. Because it was a solid reminder to me on a daily basis through that entire thing was, we don't know someone else's story. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what's going on in their lives. And we don't know who this person is that just emailed in, but she lost her father 2 years ago.
Tough, man.
And now she's trying to provide for her siblings,
yeah.
and the weight of that. And yet we have these incredible promises through our Lord that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us.
It's huge. You know, I think it can really benefit in times of trial,
yeah.
to really do a study and a word study of Psalm 23, because as you read that, you know, it says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's not saying that you're not going to fear your circumstances, but you're not going to fear the outcome of your circumstances,
yeah.
because pain is pain. And I think you do fear, you know, going through a hardship, fear going through a trial, but it says that we don't, it's not that we don't fear the trial, but that we don't fear any evil through the trial. You know, we know that God is good, and we know that God has a good end game for us. And so, you know, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And this is huge. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I think we need to really do a word study of why the rod and the staff of Jesus comfort us. Why does that comfort us? And I think in order to understand that, we got to understand what a rod and a staff were used for. You know, in a true shepherding sense, the rod was used to beat off wolves. It was used to defend the sheep. And so I think as we begin to think about the rod, and that Christ has a rod, that Christ is beating off the enemy from us, that, you know, think about this concept that that we might be in a trial, and we might, you know, Satan might be hounding us, but think about what it would look like if God wasn't defending you. What would that trial look like if God wasn't, you know, destroying the enemy, if God wasn't fighting off the enemy? What would it look like then? And it might look bad now, but imagine how bad it would be if God wasn't fighting for you. And then you think about the staff and this concept of God leading us. You know, you think about the leadership in a trial. Again, what would the trial look like if God wasn't leading you through that trial? You know, where would you be going to if you weren't following the leadership of Christ? And so as we begin to think about the leadership and the defense of Jesus Christ in the trial, that's comforting to us, because we know that God is leading us. We know that God is fighting for us.
Yeah.
And as we know and we believe that God is leading us and fighting for us, it brings comfort in the storm, no matter how great the storm is.
I've been reading Jeremiah, and man, about a week ago, I hit Jeremiah 29, you know, and that's where That's where we hear that great verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. But what we're not thinking about is the fact that Jeremiah, in the chapter before, was hanging out with another prophet who's like, "Hey, good news, everybody! God told me, like, we're exiled right now. But guess what? Good news. 2 years, bro. In two years, we're gonna be delivered, and everything's gonna be great, and just prosperity gospel. And I got this mega church in Houston going on, and it's gonna be fantastic." And Jeremiah was like, "Wow, if that's really the word of the Lord, that's a fantastic word. Are you sure that's it?" And he was like, "Yeah, bro, that's totally it." And then God goes to Jeremiah and is like, "That's not totally it. Go tell that guy he's a liar and he's going to die." And he died like within that year because he was preaching this like prosperity. "Hey, I'm in denial and we're going to be good." And they were like, "No, Hananiah, you're not. You're totes dead." And then he dies, right? So then Jeremiah says, "Okay, here's the deal. We're exiled. We are in this valley, if you will. And we're going to be like this for 70 years, bro." But he says, "Hey, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, have sons, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Mm. And that spoke to me because there are times where we do feel exiled, where we are in that valley and we don't know what's going on, and God is saying, "Hey, I want you to look at the surroundings around you. You're currently exiled. You're currently in this place of despair, but maybe I've placed you here for a reason. I'm not saying God caused your destruction. But if you look at this in Jeremiah, God had a great promise for his people. He had a great, great promise that we cling to regularly when we don't know. And it's a place where we regularly go, Jeremiah 29. So I recommend going there and checking that out. And man, lots of prayer. Thank you, Nate. You're ever a saint.
You guys praying for each other?
Just, you know, it's Shock Therapy Live.
Wooly just sent in an email, and he says it's for the gal going through the tough struggle. He says, or he sent us a meme, and it says, "Sometimes you think you've been buried, you've actually been planted."
I like that.
That's inspirational.
There you go. See, and it goes right along with Jeremiah 29.
It does, really.
Look at that. Biblical. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Stop it.
Let me be.
Is this your solo?
This is Nate's solo.
Is this the Sunday special?
The Lord just gave the word.
Refine.
I think he's singing
fire.
To you, Steve-O.
My heart's one desire.
Wow.
You got Creed.
Scott Stapp, yeah.
That's good. To
pretty,
be.
That's strong. Yeah?
Oh, studio at star88.fm.
Okay, I have a question for you, Nate.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have any calls or emails right now, but we posted a status this morning, and it's our question of the day.
Yes.
There is a TV show coming out, and you just reminded me of it because you were singing like, wah.
Yeah.
There's a TV show. It's not coming out.
Wow.
They are pitching this show.
They do not have the finances.
They do
yet.
Not have a network.
If you'd like to see their pitch, we posted it on our website because we couldn't believe it's a real pitch.
The show is called
DC Talk.
No. So You Think You Can Preach.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. And we're talking like, "Hey, and the Lord came down to the people and said." That's really like the auditions are like that. And they got the hankies and they're freaking out. And it was in Detroit, so of course. But like, yeah.
So what's that supposed to mean?
Because that's where they preach like that. Oh. Yeah, that's I heard. I've never been to Detroit.
Well, that's what the contestants on the pitch video sound
that's
like.
That's exactly what they sound like. Dude. But this is real.
Man.
And if you win, you get to preach at, what is it, 12 megachurches?
I think it's an 18-city megachurch tour where you will be giving the Sunday sermon. And you win $25,000 and a new car!
Come on down!
And you win a lunch and a back rub from T.D. Jakes.
It says here, if you feel called to preach, it says if you feel called to preach but haven't attended seminary or gone through the ordination process, So You Think You Can Preach is looking for you.
Boom! Right here, man! I never finished school ministry.
Oh, man.
The show is seeking 16 to 35-year-olds who want to be the next Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, or Benny Hinn. Many can speak into a microphone, but how many can inspire, change lives, and create that bond that's needed to have one turn their life around by the message that they will deliver during the live shows?
Oh, man. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, dude. That's real life. So, but how do we... How do we approach subjects like this? We put it up on our Facebook page and we're like, hey, what do you guys think? And I don't think a single person has been like, I'm going on the show.
There's been one single person. But the thing is, there's two ways to look at it. There's a way to say this is ridiculous, which mm-hmm. most would call common sense. But then there's another way that people say, hey, I think this is strategery. Like one person
President Bush says that.
Not on our Facebook, but one person on the Facebook for the show said, I love this. Go ahead, Holy Spirit, and get the word of God out there by any means necessary. Wow, how strategic.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it strategic. I think it's going to, you know, just make the church look worse. Because to me, it puts all the emphasis on the acting and not on the message. It's all about the method of presentation. Hey, the more you can yell and the more you can do this, the higher chances you're going to have of winning. And to me, it places the whole entire premise of the show on the approval of man, not the approval of God. You know, which is such a, you know, it's just the exact opposite of what we're supposed to do ministry right. for, the approval of God. It's like, hey, get the approval of man, and then you're going to be the next big preacher.
Colin,
so
now,
it puts all the emphasis on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going on the show, guys. I've got my message title and everything. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Maybe you work for Men's Warehouse and you want to give me a three-piece suit and a hanky so I can go on so you think you can preach. I'm just saying... No, but really. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm, or send us an email if you'd like to keep it anonymous.
So good.
Yeah, studio@star88.fm.
You know, I think the most fun part of this show is that we don't have to be serious.
Right.
That we can have fun, and that we can be funny, and that we can just have a good time together.
Yeah.
We got each other's backs.
Yes. I like that. That's good, man. Good word, bro. Good word.
I'm going to go on the show. I'm going to grow a beard. Go on the show.
Gosh. It's real life. That's really happening. Anyways. Phone lines are open. 505-338.
So much innuendo. Secret Wars.
It's a good series right now. My Marvel, if you missed in the 8 o'clock hour, we do something called Comics Corner. It's just, yeah, okay. Go on to the phone lines.
Purify.
Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
So I have an interesting situation. I have a college student that's about to be moving into my house to start college. I kind of heard you guys talking a little bit earlier, but I've been kind of in and out of the car and not been able to listen too much. But he has some mental illnesses. He's not currently on medication. I was just wondering how to go about like setting up a plan with him so that if something happens, we already have a plan in place.
Is this your...
Define a couple of things. Define if something happens. Define
the relationship.
A college student. Is it your son? Is it your friend? Is it, you know, define... I want to hear all that stuff and the backstory a little bit.
Okay. I work with a youth group, and he is a member of the youth group. I live in Albuquerque, but my youth group is located out of town. He comes from a situation where... his family hasn't had very many opportunities, and so I've been trying to help him because he really wants to go to college. And so I've been trying to help him be able to get those doors opened. And so he's starting at CNM, and he needed a place to stay in the meantime. And so my husband and I have a spare room, so he was going to be staying with us. He has, he's been diagnosed with schizophrenia. He has some anxiety and some depression. And so I know that sometimes he has some pretty intense outbursts, I guess. And so I just wanted to kind of
That makes much more sense. Yeah.
Prepared.
Yeah. So I would say a couple of things. I would say, you know, it's great that you and your husband are doing this and that you guys want to reach out to him. And I would set up ground rules from the get-go. And I think one of those ground rules would be that before he moves into your home and he's allowed to, you know, that you guys are giving him that opportunity, I'd say, look, we care about you, want the best for you. And part of wanting the best for you and caring about you is that we believe you need to be on medication for the things that you are dealing with. And so if you want to live in our home, then we think that you need to, as you've been diagnosed with these mental conditions, you need to get medication for those mental conditions. And, you know, even if that means that you guys, again, if you guys really care for him and willing to help him, maybe that means helping him do that, going to the doctor with him and helping him, you know, take that step. And then from there, I would let him know, look, here's the rule. If you stop taking that medication, if something happens, if you have an outburst, we're not doing a three strikes, you're out. If something happens and you go off that medication, then you're not going to be allowed to live with us anymore. We love you. We care for you. And we care not only for your education, but we care for your well-being as a human being. And again, part of that is, you know, making sure that you're taking these things that the doctors say that you need to take to be healthy and to be a functioning individual within today, within the culture. And so that's what I would personally do, because I think what's going to happen is if he struggles with schizophrenia and he's not taking medication, the question isn't if something happens. The question is when something happens. Right. So there's going to be an outburst. And so, you know, I don't think that you could tell him, hey, if there's an outburst, we're going to do this, unless he's taking medication, because it's not fair to him, because he's going to have an outburst unless he does what's necessary to prevent that from happening. And so that's why I would say that medication would be a key factor of you guys allowing him to live in your house.
Hmm. Okay. Great.
So is this something where he's been diagnosed with this from a medical physician, or is this just something like, I think I have this?
He was diagnosed within the last year. They had put him on medication, but his family doesn't have transportation and things to be able to really keep up the medical care that he needs. And so he took the medication while he had it, and then he went off of the medication because he just didn't have the resources to stay on it. Mm-hmm. And so he's just kind of been in a bad situation, and he does okay without the medication. I have a feeling that once he leaves home, some of the issues will kind of sort themselves out, because mm-hmm. I know that some of the stressors are things that are happening within his home.
But, I mean, you're also talking about a huge life change for him of going to college, and there's going to be a lot of stressors in the college lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, there will be a situation at some point of him living in your house if he's not on medication. Because life is life, and life is stressful. And, you know, if he's doing bad in a class and, you know, his teacher's mad at him and, you know, he's having a difficult time, you know, with life, there's going to be stressors. There's going to be new stressors that could even be more difficult for him to handle than being insulated in his home up to this point. And so there will be an outburst. So, you know, if you're prepared to deal with that, then, you know, that's fine. Then I wouldn't stress but, you know, that's, again, know that there's going to be an outburst. And so if you're like, okay, I'm okay with that, I can handle that when that comes, then more power to you. But if you don't want that to happen and you want there to be accountability, then I would say that accountability needs to come in the form of, hey, as long as you're in this house, you need to stay on your medication. We'll help you do that. You know, we'll take you to the doctor. Again, you didn't have transportation. We have transportation. So we'll make sure that you have that. But you need to stay on the medication if you want to live in this home.
Mm. Right. Well, I know that sometimes also, though, that there are sometimes while they're adjusting medication, that there will be outbursts as well. So, I mean, what would be a good plan to have in place to deal with it in that moment?
You know, that I can't necessarily, I think a doctor would probably be the best one to give you that advice as far as how to handle a mental breakdown. You know, I can talk to you about how to handle somebody who's caught in sin, but as far as how to handle someone who has a schizophrenic outburst, I cannot help you with, because I haven't personally dealt with that myself, and I'm not a professional. So I think you'd need to really ask a doctor of how to handle that when it comes. But I think, again, if you're inviting this guy into your house and you know he has schizophrenia, you definitely do need to understand that that is a possibility and that's going to happen. And I think at the same time, when that does happen, you can't fault him for it because it is a mental disability. You know, it'd be like faulting somebody, you know, who has another physical ailment for demonstrating symptoms of their ailment. You know, it's a symptom of his ailment. So I think you need to do everything in your power to make sure that he is being treated properly for that ailment if you want him to live in your home. But understanding, again, at the same time, that if he demonstrates those symptoms, you need to respond to it in love and in helping him. And as far as the specific ways to respond to one of those breakdowns and events, that's something I think you need to probably talk to a doctor or a psychiatrist about and ask them, hey, when this happens, what's the best way to deal with it? Do I call the police officers? You know, do I you know, ask him to leave the house? Do I sit down with him? You know, I think that those are all questions you really need to ask a professional.
Right.
Dude, thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Well, we got another phone call, but there's like 60 seconds left of show.
That always happens.
Yeah, I know. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Going,
how are you?
We got about a minute and a half left of show, so.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of, I don't know, elaborate on this situation. Hopefully I have time. Like, lately I've been, for I guess about the past year or so, I've been trying to, get myself away from, pornography addiction and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that would entail, you know, getting rid of, you know, all access to it, such as, you know, computers, tablets, cell phones, et cetera. But the big thing is I've gotten rid of all those things. Except the only thing I can't get rid of, and when I say I can't, it's I don't know how to block it because there is no way that I know of is a game system, right? And I can't get rid of it because, like, my wife, like, just doesn't want to get rid of it, you know? And I've tried to, you know, explain the situation, you know? I'm real open about it all, you know? I try not to hide these kind of things, you know? And she understands, but she's still, like, she's not very good with change.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, you know, I
don't know how to
approach it. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have accountability? Do you have some male accountability in your life that when you struggle with the temptation that you can call and talk to?
I had an accountability partner, but he was in the Air Force and he got redeployed to Florida.
Okay,
and my coworker, he's you know, he's a strong Christian guy, and I talk to him openly about this kind of thing.
Okay, so, and are you guys plugged into a church?
He goes to a church, and me and my wife have used to, but we haven't gone too much.
Okay, so until you do those two things, until you get plugged into a church and until you get an accountability partner, you're not going to see any breakthroughs in this area of your life. I can promise you that. Yeah. Because addicts are addicts, and you're going to find a way, even if you get rid of a game system, you'll find a way, if you're addicted to pornography, to get pornography. Because addicts are addicts. And so what you got to do is you got to have that realization that the issue isn't me getting rid of a bunch of things. The issue, again, is me deepening my relationship with Christ, my heart. And so that's why you need a constant accountability partner, somebody that will call you each day and say, hey, how you doing with that? Somebody that when you're struggling, you can call in the moment, say, hey, I'm struggling with this, pray for me. You need to be plugged into a church, because at a church you're going to get accountability. You know, for instance, I know here at Calvary we've got great men's groups, connect groups, that a group of guys will meet each week, you know, for coffee and talk about what they're going through, talk about their struggles. And unless you have that accountability, unless you have that spiritual place where you can build up your life and your relationship with Christ, you're not going to see a dramatic breakthrough, because again, your addiction to pornography is simply a symptom of your disease, which is sin. Unless we are in a process of being plugged into the body of Christ and we're in that sanctification process, we're not going to see breakthroughs in symptoms unless we're addressing the disease. And so you really need accountability. You really need to be plugged into a church, and you and your wife really need to be growing spiritually. Now, once you're doing that, I believe there's ways to combat those symptoms. And so, again, I don't know. Steve would probably know this better. but I believe you can lock a game system so where only one person has the passcode.
Yeah.
So maybe your wife locks the game system and she has the passcode and you don't know the passcode. So I know there are ways to address that from there, but again, what you got to do is get plugged into a church, get plugged into a community group, and get some accountability in your life.
I hate that we are out of time. It's like all the good stuff happens right at the end. 15 seconds. All right. Well, that's it for us. If you missed any part of the show, podcast at star88.fm. Steve Oteo, Pastor Nate, you guys. All right. Till next week.
Goodbye.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management or of Calvary Albuquerque.